Welcome to Sunrise, the radio outreach of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Join us for the next half hour as we take a personal and up-close look at the Word of God with Pastor Scott Richards. Join us now as our teacher continues his study. Here's Pastor Scott.
You know, if you're the kind of person that comes alongside and helps other people in tangible and practical ways, guess what? The Bible says that is just as powerful a gift of the Holy Spirit as speaking in tongues. Speaking a language you never learned, miraculously. Notice it also talks about administrations. If you can keep all the planes from landing on the same runway at once in the body of Christ, you've got a very, very valuable gift. And the thing that I love about this is that there's room in the body of Christ for all kinds of service, all kinds of ministries, in all kinds of wonderful ways. And one's not necessarily better than the other. You know, if you've got an administrative mind, you're just one of those people that really understands, you know, how, you know, organization should flow and you know, where certain things can really, you know, get jammed up and create difficulties in ministry. Boy, let me tell you something. That is an incredibly spiritual ministry. You know, how do you know if you've got the gift of helps or administrations? You know, I've rarely come up had someone come up to me and say, Scott, I just pray that you would lay hands on me so I could have the gift of administrations, you know? It just doesn't sound really super spiritual, but it's an essential. How do you know if you really got it? You know, how do you really know that God's given you this administrative gift? Well, I think one of the dead giveaways is found in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. If God calls you to be a part of helping to administrate a particular outreach within the church, you know what? The sure sign that you've got the gift of helps and administrations, you go, hot diggity, I can't wait. Man, that's great. I love this sort of thing. I love problem solving. I love, you know, being able to see. It gives you great satisfaction to be able to see things move more efficiently so the Word of God can impact people in more and more of an undistracted way, and people can be raised up and trained and equipped to be able to magnify and multiply the effectiveness of the ministry. And if that lights your fire, guess what? You are equally anointed with an individual who's got the gift of prophecy, gift of healing, the gift of tongues, you name the spiritual gift. And we see these individuals who took care of the business outside of the temple being acknowledged as those that were being used by God in a powerful way. Now notice in verse 17, we also see there was this inward and upward ministry going on as well. In verse 17, we see some individuals, Mattaniah, the son of Micha, the son of Zabdi, the son of Asaph, the leader who began the thanksgiving with prayer. Now notice, there was also these individuals. You have these individuals that had administrative gifts that were on the horizontal, right? But you also had an upward focus in ministry. You also had individuals that were definitely and decidedly called to this kind of spiritual impact. And boy, you know, that is an important and invaluable gift, being able to lead worship, being able to encourage and stir people up to get their eyes focused on the vertical instead of just the horizontal. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, we read this beautiful passage. It says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You know, God looks at those that can encourage people to give thanks to the Lord, encourage people to offer praise and prayer to God. He looks at this as a very valuable ministry, an amazing sacrifice. And so we see both of these things happening here. Now, I got a question to ask you. Which of these ministries was more valuable? Which of these ministries was more pleasing to God? Well, the simple answer is both. Both. Because unless you have both of these ministries happening, the body of Christ inevitably suffers. You know, I love what Romans chapter 12 says about this. In verse 4, it says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. Or he who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness." What Paul is saying is whatever role that God has given you in the body of Christ, boy, do it understanding that the Holy Spirit has put you in that place and you won't go wrong. You know, it's such a beautiful picture here. And you know, one of the other details here, and there's a number of different things that we could explore here in this passage. But for a purpose here tonight, we're told a little bit in verse 22 about the overseer of the Levites in Jerusalem. His name was Uzzi, the son of Bani, and his genealogy is giving of the sons of Asaph, the singers in charge of the service of the house of God. Verse 23 says, "For it was the king's command concerning them that a certain portion should be for the singers, a quota, day by day." Now I love that, in that this detail is given to us that even though these individuals were involved in a very spiritual form of ministry, God also acknowledges that they had some tangible needs. And God was going to take care of all of that. I imagine one of the big questions that came up when people were going to pick up stakes and move to Jerusalem, this wrong side of the tracks that was now ready to be re-inhabited and refurbished. It was still a mess, by the way. Still needed an awful lot of work. I'm sure there were people like, "Yeah, well, you know, it's all great that we're wanting to serve the Lord and everything, but how in the world are we going to make a living? How are we going to do this?" Boy, when I see that, it reminds me of when we started the church here. I remember having this conversation with my dad when I told him that we were leaving Calvary Costa Mesa. We're going to come out here to Tucson and start a church. Well, first of all, my dad was an attorney, and attorneys are taught to think in worst-case scenarios, right? That's how they make their living, anticipating problems and trying to solve them. And you know, my dad, by his lights, the last church that ever got started was back in the Reformation, right? So the kid's going to go out and start a church. Great. This sounds really, really good. And he goes, "Well, okay, you're going to go start a church. All right." And he said, "Well, Chuck Smith obviously has bought you guys a church building, right? And you've got a church building all set up, and you're going to be ready to go when you get out there, right?" And I said to him, "Well, no." I said, "At this point, I'm not really sure where we're going to meet." He looked at me and went, "Oh, okay." He goes, "Well, you know, Chuck Smith is going to pay your salary, right? You know, while you get going out there, you know, you he's going to take care of that." I said, "Well, no, actually, we've been able to put aside some savings, but that's about it. We don't really have, Chuck always said, we're God guides, he provides, and I'm not going to be on staff anymore." He goes, "Oh, so you're not going to have a salary then? Okay. So you got a job lined up, right? You know, so you can take care of the needs of your family." And I said, "Well, no, I really don't. We're just going to see if God is in this or not." And he goes, "Oh." And he goes, "Well, you've got a group of people out there, right, that are waiting for you, that are into this." I said, "Well, Dad, I just don't even know if anybody's going to show up the first Sunday." And he just gave me this look. And I think the last time I saw this look in his eyes was when he was teaching me to drive, you know? You know, kind of that look on his face like, "Oh, now I know why tigers eat their young." You know, that sort of thing going through his mind. And he goes, "Son, you know, all this spiritual stuff is fine, but how in the world are you going to make it?" And I said to him, "Well, Dad, I don't think the world's got anything to do with it. I think if God's in it, it's really going to be blessed." He goes, "Oh, okay." And I'd like to say, you know, I walked out of there feeling, "Oh, yes, God is going to." And I just walked out of there and go, "Man, he's right. This thing could go over like a lead balloon." Well, lo and behold, the Lord was in it. The Lord did take care of our needs. You know, we stepped out in faith, obviously, but every step along the line, He met our needs. And part of that meeting our needs was living off of our savings for a while till the church got to a place where it was, you know, going enough so that, you know, we could be supported financially and so forth. But the one thing I'll tell you is this. You know, even when I had no idea how we were going to make it, I had no idea from moment to moment how we were going to pay our bills personally. And Pastor Bo will give testimony to this as well. Sometimes I go to these pastors' conferences, and these pastors will be saying, oh, yeah, we've got all this money and, you know, this future building fund and so forth, and do you have it in mutual funds, or do you think it would be good to invest over here? I never have to worry about those conversations because, you know, it always just seems like with us, we have just enough to get by. We pay all of our bills. We've never been late. It just, you know, there have been times where Bo and I have looked at each other like, I don't know how this is going to work, but, you know, lo and behold, you know, God has taken us every step along the line. And I wouldn't have it any other way. Because it's just so wonderful to see how the Lord blesses and how he takes care of us and how he meets the needs. And God was basically saying to these Levites, these individuals with this spiritual focus, don't worry about it. Don't worry about your tangible needs. I'm going to take care of you. Where God guides, he provides. It's an old Calvary Chapel saying, and there's nothing more exciting than to be in a place where you're working without a net. I'm not saying to be presumptuous. I'm not saying to be foolish or stupid. But I am saying that when it comes to trusting God to meet our needs according to his riches and glory, he will do that. Sometimes he will do that by providing you a job. Sometimes he'll do that supernaturally. Sometimes he'll just drop a check when you didn't think anything was going to happen. Boy, early on in the life of the church, when things were really, really tight, we didn't know how we were going to make it. Our secretary at that time called me right before the Wednesday night service, and I'm thinking about the message and trying to, you know, focus in on that. And she goes, well, we got a letter here in the office for you, and I think you really need to look at it. And I said, Shauna, you know, hey, I'm really busy right now. No, you really need to look at this thing. And, you know, and I was thinking, oh, boy, you know, our finances are really tight, and I got to focus on that. All right. So I went down there, and, you know, my grumpy, you know, interrupted mood. All right. Okay, what's this letter I need to see? And it turned out this letter is from this charitable fund in the Midwest, like in Nebraska someplace. And it's addressed to me. And I open up this letter, and it says, you know, dear Pastor Scott, you know, someone sent me a copy of your teaching, and our charitable fund was set up as a trust to support churches that teach the Bible verse by verse. Here is a check to support your ministry. It was a check for $25,000. Not because we applied for it or you know, poor mouthed or anything like that. God knew we needed it. And it just was enough to take care of everything that we do. We just began to refurbish this building. It was just enough to take care of everything that we needed. You know, and it's just such an exciting thing to see how the true and living God meets our needs. He doesn't meet our greeds, obviously, but he meets our needs according to his riches and glory. So here in this passage, we see how the people of Israel, in one shining moment, right, by taking the initiative, by the leaders actually leading in a scriptural way, by being invested into the lives of God's people personally and passionately, and finally, in this beautiful personalized picture, how God ministers individually, how he remembers our service to him and how he recognizes that and supports it and validates and verifies, whether you're involved with sweeping the floors or whether you're involved with intercessory prayer, whether you're teaching God's word, whether you're involved with evangelism, whether you're here in Tucson, whether you're considering going into missions, God is aware and God cares. And if we decide to be a part of what God is up to, there's nothing more exciting in the world. We've all got a role to play, gang. Big question. How do you find that role? Three things I want to leave you with tonight. Number one, you want to find out where you fit in God's kingdom, where you can thrive and grow and be fruitful. Number one, pray. Pray. So many times we get off the track because we don't pray. You have not because you ask not. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it shall be given to him. I love that because it tells me that God is far more interested in guiding us than we are in being guided. If you want to be used by God in a more significant way, seek the Lord. You know, if someone asks you to be involved in an area of ministry, seek the Lord. Don't use it as a blow-off line. Now, sometimes we do that in Christian circles, right? Oh, yeah, I'll pray about that. That's Christianese for don't ever ask me again because I'm not going to do it. But honestly and sincerely pray about it. If someone comes up and says, hey, there's an area here I think you'd really fit into all of this, you know, maybe it's the Lord. But make sure it's the Lord. Because if you're doing things to please people or because you felt pressured, you're not going to last. But if God lays on your heart to serve in a particular area, it's going to be a beautiful and thriving ministry. First, pray. The second thing you need to do if you want to find your place in the sun, S-O-N, is play. Play. What do I mean by that? You need to find an area of ministry that lights your fire. An area of ministry that's not drudgery to you, that's not a drag to you, but is a delight to you. One of those things where you look at it and you go, you know what? This isn't a got to, it's a get to. It's something that you just enjoy. And I tell people this, and they always look at me funny, and they go, oh, the ministry, man, going to the ministry, that's really tough stuff. Ministry and all this stuff. I go, are you nuts? Man, I feel like the kid who grew up to be a baseball player. Just between you and me, Wednesday night group, you guys can keep this to yourself. But if I wasn't getting paid to do this, I'd be doing it anyway. I love teaching God's word so much. I love studying it so much. I love when the Lord speaks to me. There's nothing more exciting than to have him take a passage to me that just seems as obscure as mud, and then suddenly it just becomes so clear. It's just so beautiful and supernatural, and I get to do it for a living. It's so awesome. You should have the same attitude no matter what the Lord calls you to do in the church. It shouldn't be work. It should be like play to you. I'm not saying that there aren't times where ministry can be difficult, where it can be challenging. It certainly can. But understand something. You can get tired in the work, but you should never get tired of the work. You know, it should always be something that is a delight to you because you're serving the Lord. You're finding the Lord there. You know that this is exactly where God has you, and you're using your gifts to the fullest ability. And finally, not just pray and play, but stay at it. Stay. You might get involved in a particular area of ministry, and initially you might not see a whole lot of results. You know, when I was a kid, remember when you were in grade school, science class, when they teach you about plants growing? You know, they gave us a lima bean, right? And you put the lima bean in the soil, and you'd water it, you know, and it was supposed to sprout up and all this stuff. Everybody else is sprouted except mine. You know, I don't know if it's because I have the opposite. What's the opposite of a green thumb? A red thumb? I don't know. Death. I touch plants and they die. I have a feeling it was probably more about the fact that every day I'd go in there, I was so impatient, I'd dig it up and I'd look at the thing and then I'd put it back in there. Sometimes I think we do that with ministry. Sometimes we go, man, I want to see results. I heard about this guy and he started a church and in 6 months it had 10,000 people at it. That's what I want. If that's what you want, you couldn't handle it. If you could handle it, God would give it to you. You know, you might look and go, well, you know, I've been working with these kids and I just don't know if what I'm doing is really making a difference. You won't know. Maybe you won't know for years the difference that your life made because you were faithful at a particular place. But stay at it. Don't dabble. Don't be flitting from here to there doing this or that or the other. Now, if God tells you to do something, stay at it because faithfulness always leads to fruitfulness. And there's no shortcut. There's no shortcut. Stay faithful with what God's called you to do. Oh, I love what 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 says about all of this. And we'll close with this, I promise. It says this. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. Then in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Lord, thank you that you use people like us to do monumental works. And Lord, I know that for some of those people that you called by lot to move into Jerusalem, that was probably the lottery they never wanted to win. And I'm sure that they looked upon that and the obstacles and the difficulties and the challenges probably at first blush seemed to far outweigh the blessings. But I thank you, Lord, that they were faithful. Because every one of those names that we find so difficult to pronounce is a name that you pronounce perfectly, is a name that you hold near and dear to your heart, is a name of an individual who now stands in glory and has received a reward for faithfulness beyond anything we could comprehend. God, we just want to be smart enough to take our stand with these very same kinds of people. Lord, we want to be leaders in the best sense of the term. Leaders because we're first led by you into a deeper relationship with your amazing grace and your beautiful love and your patience and your kindness and your beautiful character. I pray people would see that kind of Christ-like character manifested in us. Lord, we want to be people that are invested in the lives of others, not just people that go through the motions or people that get involved with religious ruts, but the ultimate proof positive your Spirit is working in us, God. We pray that your Holy Spirit would do a work of beautiful love that would color and influence and just make beautiful in your eyes everything that we do. And Father, most importantly, help us to realize that where you guide, you provide. And you're going to give us the continued passion, the stick-to-itiveness. You're going to give us the encouragements as we need it in whatever area you call us to serve in. But Lord, my prayer is if there are some here that have just been spiritual bumps on a log, spiritual sponges, just receiving, but never relating to others, God, just stir them up in a good way, in a beautiful way. Let them know that there's far more to their walk with God than anything that they've received so far, and that the real excitement and adventure of following you is taking those steps out in faith and not being it for me, myself, and I, but being it to glorify you. Father, for those that are serving in beautiful ways, in fruitful ways, not only in the church, but outside the church, Lord, help them through the power and anointing of your Spirit to abound still more. Grant them greater vision. Grant them the ability to be able to hear your voice saying, here's an area that you can touch. Here's an area where my light needs to shine. Here's a place where you can be used in a powerful and a profound and a lasting way. God, we don't want to just live out our time here on earth. We don't want to play religion. We don't want this to be Calvary Christian Country Club. We desire, Father, to be these people that are equipped by you, blessed by you, encouraged and empowered by you, that you would use our lives in ways that we never even dreamed possible, that are going to have blessings not only in the here and now, but also end up being a blessing to us and to you forever. God, thank you for giving us this wonderful call. In Jesus' name, amen.
Scott Richards of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson. Be sure to join us again at this same time as we continue our journey through the entire Bible here on Sunrise. We'd also like to extend an invitation for you to join us for worship and the study of God's Word. Calvary Christian Fellowship is located on the northwest side of Tucson. Just go one block west of Interstate 10 on Prince Road and then two blocks north. Service times are 9 and 11 a.m. on Sundays. Our midweek Oasis service gets underway every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Our Video Extension Campus meets in Oro Valley every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at the Lehman Academy. To join us, go one block north of Tangerine on La Cañada Road. To personally connect with us or to order an audio copy of what you heard on today's broadcast, visit our website at calvarychristianfellowship.com. That's calvarychristianfellowship.com. If you have questions concerning Calvary Christian Fellowship, the Bible, prophecy, or personal issues in your walk with God, be sure to join Pastor Scott live on this station for A Reason for Hope every Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Well, thanks again for joining us, And be sure to be listening at the same time for more of Sunrise with Scott Richards.